obviously in early this year. And I won't try and explain what it is that you do around it, but it's brainwave sensing.
The title of our session is Brain Knows Best, Using Technology to Harness Your Potential.
James referred to is called Cortex. So I'm going to talk about it across the talk, but what I'm going to do in the talk today is I'm going to just give you a bit of an introduction to how technology has changed with regard to the mind, the brain, how we fit into it, and just all the kind of exciting things that are going on out there at the moment. So my title of my talk is Brain Knows Best, Using Technology to Harness Your Potential. So my background is I have a neuroscience degree and I spent 3 or 4 years of my PhD studying mental health and disease and different diseases and how they actually impact your brain and change shape, size and your actual mental health. So from this, I suppose my disclaimer is that I'm not a programmer, I'm not a software developer, but I'm a neuroscientist. So with the brain and where it's going to bring us is that I don't know how much of you are familiar with what the brain is and what it does regarding its a huge ability to change. And with the huge ability to change, I don't just mean that it has evolved over time, but it has the ability to respond to its environment. And when I say respond to environment, I mean it at a very microscopic level, that it is very plastic is the science term used for it, but it's just, it's malleable. So how you interact with it has a huge impact on how it can change. And with technology and the way that it's changed over the last 20, 30 years, a lot of the technology that would be used to engage the brain would have been used in medical and research environments. But because technology is moving so quickly in the last 10 or 20 years, this has actually become something that's more relevant to the consumer. So there's two technology segments that affect the brain, and it's both software and wearables. So when I say software, I don't know, have any of you ever heard of a company called Lumosity? Yeah, so probably a sign that you train your brain. So there's this whole concept of the last 10 or 20 years that you can have like the equivalent of a gym subscription for your brain. So the whole idea is you're using, with the software, there's web-based applications to make your brain fit. And this is what Lumosity does. It gives you certain tasks or games that you engage with, and then it gives you a brain performance score at the end of it. So there's a lot of software apps developing out there with that. The other side of it, and it's the area that Cortex is actively involved in, is wearables. So when you say wearables now, people think of Fitbits, or they think of pedals, or something as simple as your Garmin monitor, or it could be a heart monitor that you wear. So all of these, biometric basically means that it's anything that gives you a physiological response reading. So wearables nowadays, there's so many out there, but it's only in the last 5 or 10 years that there is actually headset wearables. And I have one there in my bag, actually, I'll show you. So in the last 5 or 10 years, what you probably would think of when you think of a wearable is when people are in a medical environment, they have like a 32 or 50 set electrodes that are on their head. But nowadays, there's wearables out there. Thank you. There's wearables out there that you can actually read your brain waves. And this is just an example of a third-party headset here from NeuroSky. And it's with a simple sensor on the front, you can read your brain waves. And what that means is it does not mean that it can read your mind. What it means is it can give you an insight into your brain function by reading your brain waves, which give you a measure of the electrical activity that's going on in your brain. So this is the main way that I think there's commercial focus is driving towards digital brain health. So with digital brain health, there's over 2 billion people worldwide that have brain-based challenges or brain-based productive challenges. Now, this can span a lifetime and can go from more everyday challenges such as stress, mood disorders, emotional competence, and cognitive decline to more medically relevant disorders such as autism, ADHD, and Alzheimer's. And this is a huge cost in the economy. It's like, as I said here, $2 trillion and growing. It's this that has really driven it, and there's several other trends as well that has driven digital brain health to the fore. People's habits have changed. So over the last 10 or 20 years, whether you know it or realize it or not, people are becoming a lot more self-aware and a lot more interested in how is my mind today. So if you compare it to 20 or 30 years ago, people just, there's a drive for people, it's like a DIY for themselves, not just like this self-improvement or monitoring their health, their wellness. And this has definitely brought a lot of technology changes. And this accompanied with the whole idea that people are less likely to take pills if they think that there's an alternative in the form of therapy, behavioural therapy or otherwise. So this whole idea that a magic pill, if you can take less pills and it can be compensated with something, this has brought people more online on the web, self-assessing, self-diagnosing, good and bad things. But the other aspect as well is that computers are changing. So if you think like from 20 or 30 years ago, the size of computer, there's a huge mobile revolution. So things are becoming more portable and more convenient, so people can do things on the go. So this has been accompanied by different changes in technology. So with the need to self-improve, there's become a lot more brain tools. And I'll go into some details on the tools that have developed over time. With this as well has become the need to compensate the idea of having a magic pill for stuff, but, you know, kind of reinforcing it, not necessarily replacing, because that's not possible in scenarios, but reinforcing or complementing with behavioural therapy. And then the final thing there that I have is that people, young, old or otherwise, are using tablets. Tablets are actually after been used by people over 50. It's increased 50% in the last 5 years. So it just shows that this whole idea of doing things from the home or have it been portable or on the go or in the back of your car, it's growing incrementally. It's huge. So what this all brings home is that digital brain health has come to the fore because people want reliable brain tools to improve their quality of life. It could be for health, it could be for wealth, it could be for wellness, or it could be for self-diagnostics. So across the spectrum of different disorders or personal or professional health issues, people ultimately want to improve their quality of life. So what I'm going to talk to you now about is the different types of technology that I've been exposed to and what we do then as well. So this is probably what you think of when you think of brainwaves. So in the medical field or in a research environment, you have a simple cap that's put in your head. There's anything from 30 to 60 electrodes on it. They have specific points across your brain where they can detect certain brainwaves. But the whole idea of this is you are getting a measurement of your brain function through your brainwave activity. Simple example would be certain brainwaves can give you a measurement of certain readings. So you can measure, I suppose, some mental states. So you can measure how focused you are, or you can also measure how stressed or relaxed that you are. These would be the two ones that I'll be focusing on over the rest of the talk. So in a medical environment as well, there's different tasks that you can give a person to do while wearing a cap like this, and this can give you insight into, it's used in a lot of neurodegenerative diseases, it can be used in epilepsy. But nowadays, as the one I showed you now, because there's cheaper sensors, there's faster processing power and bandwidth, and there's also better design talent out there. So all of these collectively have meant that to accommodate the needs that there are for the consumer, basically headsets like this have been created. They will not match what you've seen here, but you don't need this in a commercial environment necessarily. You don't need 52 electrodes. Using a simple sensor like this in your forehead, you can actually get several different regions of different brainwaves. So the whole drive now, there's like a change, there's a drive to be able to wear something like this. So I'll just stick it on and show you how it goes. So it's a simple sensor just sitting across your forehead here. You switch it on and it attaches wirelessly by Bluetooth to your laptop or computer. And you can get a reading, depending on, you can get a reading from here and you'll be able to change that electrical signal into a digital signal and send it to your laptop or computer. So there's several companies, Interaxon, Emotive and Neurosky would be the two companies in the last 5 years that have started up to develop commercial headsets. There's a huge drive in the US, even with DARPA, their defense, their public defense, are actively driving because there's a lot of soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder, and there's a huge drive in trying to create affordable, wearable headsets to combat and treat this. So there's a lot of investments in the US into driving this forward, and then there's more, as you call them, more aesthetically pleasing ones coming to the fore, and I think they will even come to the fore to accommodate different groups of people over the next few years. So I just wanted to give you a quick example of, I was at a Neurogame conference over in the US last week, and basically what it brought together, it's the second one of its type, and it's bringing together all the ideas of what you could do with neurogaming. When they say neurogaming, it's improving or celebrating the mind, and how they do it, or the mind of a healthy person, by driving people forward by creating an immersive environment, using your brain waves and your brainwave sensing to treat or diagnose or create therapeutic benefit for different types of illnesses. There's several different verticals that this can go down when you think about using something like this type of technology. First of all, it can be for fun or entertainment, and I've just given a few examples. So this in the top here is just like a modified version. This is called Niko Mimi, and it's a Japanese headset that they basically just put two rabbit ears on. So it can tell you, like, when you you could be wearing that, and if you're not listening or if you're distracted, not listening to someone, the ears drop down. So they can tell when you're actually distracted, and then when you're alert, the ears go up. So it's telltale signs. So it's kind of a fun and engaging product. It's just one example of it. The other one that would probably really, these are kind of the more fun and interesting ones. So the middle one here is called the Puzzle Box, and it's again wearing a headset like this, and you have, what he has there, he just has a little stand, and he's got like an airplane in the middle of it, and what he can do is that he trains his brain. So the whole idea of wearing something like this, if you can train your brain to become more focused, the more focused, once your brain waves detect from this that you're focused, it flies up into the air. So it's an idea of Mattel are kind of involved in this as well. It's controlling toys with your mind. So it's just showing the whole idea. And then the very last year, it's called Throwing Trucks with Your Mind, and the clue is in the name of the game. So the whole idea is you're wearing this and you're engaging in the game as well, and it's like the more focused that you become as well, you can throw trucks at people in the game. So very simple but effective ways of showing how it can be used for entertainment. However, even at the conference last week, a lot of the work that's been carried out in this has still been done in a research environment, and there's a lot of headsets been created, and there's definitely a niche out there for having almost like a dashboard there or software to accommodate the transfer of this for the commercial consumer. And as you all probably have heard of Google Glass and the likes, people are quite enthusiastic of the idea of possibly building in something like a brainwave sensing reader into the Google Glass, but the whole idea is how you process the data. There's huge big data problems with it and how you actually process the information. The other idea is, I think there's huge opportunity for something like brain technology to be used as a multimodal approach and to be used in conjunction with something haptic like leap motion. So I had a few, there's a few demos and expos all over there, and it showed how you could integrate the leap motion with how relaxed or how stressed you are. So we were in this that you can control certain things in a 3D environment. So the leap motion, they were controlling certain blocks, and the blocks would turn a certain color depending on your mood or your mental state. Another example of it would be as well with the Oculus Rift. There's huge, huge opportunities both in health and for fun. But the whole idea with the Oculus Rift is wearing this, you're creating a more immersive and engaging environment. You just have another input the emotional state of the person while we're playing a game. So huge opportunity there. And then face shift as well is the whole idea that you might be familiar with some facial recognition software. So it shows if you're happy or sad or stressed or angry. And often just one mode of showing that isn't enough. But the idea that if you use something like brainwave sensing alongside different algorithms for detecting changes in your face, shape, size, or whatever, that it will actually be, it's a lot more engaging and it's a lot more accurate way of detecting it within a game. I suppose another way of it, from a medical perspective, there's been a lot of 3D printing by engineering companies in the US that have developed prosthetic limbs that are connected to sensors like this, but sitting on a band across your head. I just put this photo up because these engineering and prosthetic companies were charging $80,000 for a 3D printed prosthetic arm. So you wear the headband and you're able to... So just to kind of put it in perspective, you can regulate different brain waves once you become aware. It's kind of getting a sense of being relaxed or getting a sense of being focused. You can do certain tasks that will improve your focus over time. So with this, the whole idea is that a person can wear a prosthetic arm, and by improving, say, their alpha brainwaves, one of the brainwaves that are used, by improving or training them to be able to regulate or increase their alpha brainwave, they would be able to control and use these brainwaves to integrate commands into it. But I put this up because this is a 3D conference, I thought it was quite interesting that the engineering companies were charging $80,000 for it, and this teenager here developed an equivalent prosthetic arm for $800. So it's huge. Like, it just shows the 3D printing is changing and coming to the fore. Like, it has it is huge potential when you start combining it with the likes of technology that I'm talking about here. Now, the other area, and it's the area that I suppose Cortex is most active in, would be in brain fitness. But I just wanted to give you an idea. There's just so many. This is exploding. It's starting to really come to the fore. There's a few prominent companies in Europe at it. There's quite a lot more investment and kind of giddiness about it over the US. But it's brain fitness. So when I say brain fitness, it's almost like if your car, the red light goes on in your car for oil, and you're going to stop the car immediately, I'd hope. The whole idea is, do you have a means of assessing your own mental wellness or your own well-being, or am I too stressed? How do I regulate? How do I monitor myself? The whole idea with brain fitness is that you're using biometrics to look after yourself, to maximise your time, to improve your focus, to become more productive, and to give time back to yourself. The whole drive is always improving your quality of life. So there's a few ways this can be. Some people like the idea of wearing a gadget to know how many steps there are. That's where this will come in several years' time. Might not happen this year, but over the next few years, people will wear a headset, a more subtle version of this, and will be able to go, oh, I was really stressed with that, and start becoming more self-aware about the cues that cause them a lot of stress, or when they become more focused, or being aware of how they can be more productive with their lives. So it's almost like a mental gym subscription or a mental gym membership. This is the whole idea behind it. So the idea would be that you can get mainstream biofeedback. This is just telling you what your mental states are. That you can have consumer-grade EEG devices. This is basically, EEG just means the measurement of brain waves. Out of the lab and clinical neurofeedback, get EEG-based neurofeedback. Cloud applications, how you can interact with a web-based application. And the big data knowledge extraction, the bigger companies want this, and this is where the likes of Google content providers could actually tap into a lot of information with this. So just for the last 5 minutes here, I'm just going to tell you about what Cortex does. So our tagline is making mind matter, and what we're doing is we're using science, biometrics, and engagement to try and create customized brain fitness solutions, like I mentioned before. Now, the first area the first domain that we'd actually worked in was the area of ADHD and autism. So with my background and with the guys that I'm working with, what we wanted to do was find a way to address the needs of the parents or the care workers or resource schools in this area. So if you think of the main, I hate using the word pain points, but it's what makes a child distracted, or what are the main conditions that need addressing in a child with ADHD, what does the parent want to do to improve their health? The idea is to improve their distraction, to allow them to be more socially engaging in play dates or whatever it is, and bottom line is as little medication as possible. And if you can find a way to even supplement without even to improve their focus and improve the problems that they have, this is great. So just a stat on it, 7% of people worldwide suffer from ADHD. Loads and loads of adverse outcomes associated with it, and huge cost again for the economy. And it's an order of just of performance. And performance is a metric that requires reliable data. So there's a need for research-driven solutions to improve the quality of life of the family. So what Cortex do is we combine wearables like this with instructional content to give some personal care back to the end user. So how we do it is we have, our whole drive would be creating a game or a technology that will allow the child to improve their focus or reduce their stress. So the instructional content that I refer to here is what you're just seeing here on the tablet here is just a very simple idea that you can tell how focused or how stressed that person is in real time. So we have it based and working on an Android platform. It's a real-time measurable and monitoring tool so that at any cue during the session or during a playback session that the person is wearing the headset, you'll be able to tell how stressed or how relaxed you are because it comes up with a flash. So